One of the most mysterious stories in all of Chumash, and one of the least learned stories in all of Chumash, is in the middle of Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev begins with Yosef, and ends with Yosef, begins with Yosef and his brothers in Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Canaan, ends with Yosef and Potiphar and Eshes Potiphar and the Sarim in Mitzrayim. In between Perek Lamed Ches, in the center of Vayeshev, is a story that children typically don't learn at all. Usually gets skipped in elementary school. And adults may learn it, but it often remains very, very puzzling. Very, very mysterious. It's a story of Yehuda and his family. The Torah tells us in Perek Lamed Ches, after Mechiras Yosef, Vayered Yehuda Me'isechav, Yehuda heads off, starts a business, he gets involved in sheep, and gets married. And he has three boys. He has three boys, Er, Onan, Shelah. And Yehuda marries Er off, finds a wife for his oldest son. Er marries Tamar, and Er dies. He marries Tamar and dies. The Torah isn't clear. The Torah tells us that he had done some chet. He had done some chet as a result of which he passes away. Torah says that then Yehuda turns to his next son, to Onan, and says, your brother Er passed away, leaving no children, leaving a wife. Why don't you marry your brother Er's widow, Tamar, perform Yibum, and Hakem Zer Lachicha, and you'll establish the children that for your brother that he never had, he passed to Er, died without children, you'll have children with Onan will have children with Tamar, and you'll establish the children that Er would have had. Vayeda Onan, and Onan knows Kilolo Yazara, the children aren't going to be his, so he doesn't want to have children with Tamar, because in his mind, they won't be his children somehow, they'll be Er's children, he's not interested, and the Torah says that he refuses to impregnate his wife. Severe repeated violations of Aksar Zal Batala, and ultimately he dies from that tet as well. Now, Yehuda's first son, Er, marries Tamar, died. Second son, Onan, marries Tamar, dies. Yehuda doesn't know that the boy, his son's own chatan, were driving this capital punishment in Shamayim. Yehuda misunderstands and thinks that somehow this is as a result of Tamar. The Gemara does speak about Katlamis. Yehuda thinks that there's some sort of pattern here. Whoever marries Tamar is going to pass away. So he has a third son, Shelah. And Yehuda says, well, Shelah's too young. Wait around. We're not going to do Yibum just yet. Tamar sees after a while that Shelah's getting older and it's not about Shelah being too young. So she takes matters into her own hands. And seeks to ensure that she's intimate with Yehuda himself, becomes pregnant from Yehuda. The Torah goes on to say that it becomes clear that Tamar has been intimate with someone outside the family. Yehuda says, they tell you, they report to you as Zansak Tamar Kalaseich. She's been involved as Nuts. She's not married. She hasn't yet married Shelah. She hasn't performed Yibum with Shelah, and somehow she became pregnant. So Yehuda initially thinks that she deserves capital punishment for the act of Znus. She, as the Gemara holds Tamar up as a model, almost superhuman model of sensitivity to others, because she has evidence that indicates that the father of her children is none other than Yehuda himself. But she doesn't call him out. She just says, oh, the father of children are the one who owns these items. And sort of the ball's in Yehuda's court. And Yehuda says, that's me. Sadka mimeni. Sadka mimeni, which Rashi translates as, she's right, mimeni, my child. Stay of execution. Ultimately, she has two children, Peretz and Zarach. And Peretz becomes as we learn in Megillas Rus, from Yehuda to Peretz is the line that extends to David HaMelech, ultimately to Nachshon, to David, and ultimately to the entire Machlokes Beis David, and Mifta Shem Mashiach, Mashiach Ben David. And that's the story of Tamar. That's that mysterious, either because you never learned it before, or mysterious because I'm trying to figure out what on earth is going on. It's a remarkably odd yichus for David HaMelech and all the Malchei Beis David. It's a remarkably odd scenario for Yehuda. And we're wondering, well, if she was Chayevas Misa, so then the fact that it, all of a sudden Yehuda discovers that he's the father of the children, why does that make it any better? That should implicate both of them. And moving back even farther,
Pasuk Ches, Yibum, Bo'al Eshes Achicha V'Yabemosa. Yehuda had said to his second son, your older brother Aaron passed away without children, why don't you perform Yibum? Yibum? This is called Matan Torah. Something's awry. So the Ramban says, Ramban has a remarkable approach, an approach that's going to tie together three different parts of Tanakh. The story of Yibum Parshas Vayeshev, the halachas of Yibum in Parshas Kiseitse, and a third paragraph, a third episode elsewhere in Nach. Let's take a look. Yabemo, he first begins with what sounds like a technical point. But as we'll see, anything but technical. Yabemo sa, pasuk ches, here we are, paragraph lamed ches, pasuk ches. Yabemo sa, and Yehuda instructed his second son Onan, bim yabim heir's widow, v'harkein zera lachicha, establish children for your brother who never had his own. What does that mean? Let's just start with that. What does that mean, v'harkein zera lachicha? And Onan says, oh, and the very next pasuk, Onan's not interested. Vayeda Onan ki lo lo yazar, it's not going to be his children, so he's not interested in having children with Tamar. What's going on? So Rashi says, Hakem zera lachicha means, Haben yikare al shem hames. Lashon Rashi. The child that you'll have will be called after the first husband's name. Sounds like we're going to name the boy Aaron. Lashon Rashi. Ain't the emes. Rabban says that's just not the case. Ki b'mitzvos Torah nemar gam kein yakum l'shem achiv hames. This is one episode. This is one story. So we don't know what would have happened had Onan had a child with Tamar. Hard to know. Well, what would they have named him? Would they have named him heir? Can't prove for sure. But what we do know is this isn't just one story. What we do know, Rabban says, is b'mitzvos Torah, the halachic part of Chumash, moving forward to Chumash Dvarim, the Torah, when the Torah has the halachos of Yibum, not just this one story of Yibum, Nemar Gam Kein, it's very similar language. Yakum al shem achiv hameis, lo yimach shmo miYisrael. The Torah speaks of Yibum, says the second brother marries the widow of the first brother, and v'ahaya b'char shatayle, the first child that she has, Yakum al shem achiv hameis. The first child is going to become on the brother's name. Is that the din? No. And he have a mitzvah literal of no kashem achemes. The halakha does not require, if Reuben passed away without children and Shimon marries Reuben's widow, they don't have to name the first baby Reuben. They can if they want to, but there's no such din. There's no such din. And Rabban says, not only do we know from learning Masechta Yevamos, from Shavel in the footnote number 10 sends you to take a look at Yevamos Chaf Daled, that that's not the din. He says, I can also prove it from a story in Chumash. And here we're ready to introduce the third episode. For now, just for a detail. The third, where is there another story that sounds like Yibum in Tanakh? It says, Megillas, other end of the year, Megillas Rus. The Amar B'Boaz. Boaz says, when Boaz, remember Boaz has a discussion with another relative. Boaz was a cousin of Machlon, who had been married to Rus. Elimelech and Naomi's son Machlon had been married to Rus. Machlon had died in Eretz Moab. Naomi and Rus, who had formerly been mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, came back together to Eretz Israel. Ultimately, Boaz is interested in being Goel Rus, marrying Rus. There's someone else who is a closer relative, Tov, Plomi Amoni, whatever his name actually is, some anonymous figure. He's not interested, so Boaz says, then I'll take it. And Boaz makes a public statement. The Amar of Boaz, the Gamaz Rus Amoavia Ishas Machlon, Kanisi Lili Isha. Says, I have married today Ruth, who used to be married, the widow of Machlon, Lahakim Shem Hameis al Nachalaso. Same language. To make him shame. To establish the name of the
of the, her first late husband, Malchon.
His name should not be cut away from his family. His name should not be cut away from the community.
Same Lashon. And there we know what they had a child. So Boaz marries Machlon's widow, Ruth, and they have a child. What is the name of the child of Boaz and Ruth? You remember your Megillas Ruth? His Boaz's grandson was Yishai, his great-grandson is David. Yishai's father is Oved. Matikrena also Oved, lo Machlon. Proof positive.
Direct. It says there all this language in Rus about not cutting away his name and keeping his name and Hakam Hashem, and that's not what they named the baby. They didn't name him Machlon.
They named him Oved.
So it doesn't just mean.
Ramban says, number one, I can prove to you from other sugyas, so to speak, from looking throughout the rest of Tanakh, looking at Kiseitse, looking at the Gemara Nivav, the Chapasik Kiseitse, and looking at the story in Rus, it's not true. The Torah means something. The baby will be called Hashem Hames, but it doesn't mean literally naming it. It's something else. Something else is afoot.
And Rabban says there's also Raim and Ebe. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Could you also learn out from this exact story that Yehuda and Tamar, in a sense, he was kind of doing the evil.
And the Sahal says, continue this story. Right? Ultimately, they have to have two children, and neither one is named Er or Onan. They're named Peretz and Zerach. That's a very good point. And, fantastic.
And moving with Nisano's approach, let's look, Mineu Bey, in the story of Ayesha. He says, look, Rabbi, says, look at the very next pasuk. What does Onan say? When Yehuda says, you're gonna do Yibam, I want to do Yibam, and that way, the children you'll have will be Nikraim Al Shem. They'll be making shame for your late brother heir.
So what's his reaction? What's Onan's reaction? Absolutely not. He refused to have children because of he thinks it's gonna what? He disliked his brother, older brother, so much he would rather not have kids than have to name one of them heir. Really? Yeah. What do you say, Peretz?
Why are we translating as literally?
Fantastic. Right. So very good, Peretz. Well, the Ramban is moving towards is Al Shem cannot be literal. I mean, in Rashi. I mean, maybe even Rashi didn't mean it. So Peretz is saying, maybe even Rashi didn't mean literally Al Shem. He meant also something larger. Okay, so let's go. So maybe what the Ramban is going to develop, you're saying, maybe Pshat and Rashi. That's a good point. I'm sorry? Yes. Well, I would hesitate to personalize this story too much. The ode. Sha'amar vayeda onan kilo lo yazara. Onan knows this is not that he's not. It won't be his children. Umaharasha tov olav akihishcha zarmi panah. You refuse to impregnate her. Im yikrash shem beno kishem acha ames. It was so terrible to name his first son for his deceased brother. Rov bnei adam misavim lasos kein. Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, a family loses someone. There are few things that they want more than to be able to name a baby for the relative who passed away. So you would expect Onan to be very excited. He lost his brother. That was a tragedy. He'll have a child. He'll name a child for his late brother heir. Most of the time, that's something people want desperately. And here, that was scaring him away. Ramban says, we see from beyond this parasha, that doesn't have to do with names. You see from within the parasha, that doesn't have to do with names. Something else is going on. And then he has a third raya. Not only from the content of the next pasuk, that the fact that Onan is so opposed to whatever this Hakam Hashem is, he says, but the Lashon. What verb does the Torah use? Usually when the Torah wants to say, Reuben says something to Shimon, and Shimon responds, whether Shimon responds with words, or Shimon's responding in his head, usually the language, the word the Torah will use is Vayomer. Vayomer. So you would expect, Yehuda says to Onan, Vayomer Onan, and Onan said, either said verbally or thought, not interested. But the Torah doesn't say that. V'lo Omar kasta v'yomer Onan, v'lo Omar v'yeda Onan. Onan knew. Ki lo lo yazar. What's his knowing? Yediya brura hayisalo. Rabban says this is something deeper is going on. It wasn't his opinion. He wasn't interested in giving a name. It's something much. You knew for sure what you're going to name the baby. It could have made should picked a different name. Rabban says no. This is yediya brura. Rabban the Kabbalist says Onan understood. It's not what Onan's opinion was. What his preference in terms of naming his kid. He understood a reality. Avalainim sod gadol misodos haTorah. Because what's really going on here is a profound idea in Kabbalah. Usually, 99 times out of 100, Rabban tells us in the introduction, if you see that language, you know that people like us should just skip to the next paragraph. Exactly, should back off. But this Rabban is traditionally learned, and there is a lot that we can figure out. What he's about to tell us, there'll be a little bit that some of it will be beyond us. But let's see, there's a lot to begin. Ha'in gadol, ha'in so gadol mitzorah satorah, b'tolada sa'ana. He says, well, this is not about what name you give him, as Parrot said. This is about a mystical reality, Kabbalistic reality, in people's neshamas. When Nikru l'ein ro'im, and people who observe can see, if you are ro'im asher nasan lehem Hashem inayim l'ro'os asayim l'shmar. If you have the right eyes and the right ears, if you've been blessed with that sort of insight, you can tell. I can't speak for you. I can't speak for myself. I don't see this. I don't hear this. Not in Zolka. But the Rabban explains. The early Chachamim, even before Matan Torah, like the others, Yodim, ki yesh to'elas gadol b'yibim ha'at. They knew that Yibum has a lot of to'ela. Yibum works. That if a man passed away without children, his neshama can be healed in some way. His neshama can be helped in some way. Talk about Ilu neshama. His neshama can be deeply helped by his widow marrying his brother. The Yibum of the brother will not physically, but spiritually do great things for his neshama. That's the reality. In other words, the first thing Ramban tells us is that we learn, if you just learn Parshat Ki Zaytzei, you think that the Yibum is just a mitzvah, a din. If this happens, that's what you do. The man dies without children, leaves behind a brother and a wife, so the din is after Yibum. The Rabban says it's much more than that. Mashal Mahadav Radoma. Tzedakah is a mitzvah. But tzedakah, there's a chiyuv to give tzedakah. If I have the funds and someone else needs the funds, is a legitimate need. So I have a pasach tzedakah. I have a halachic requirement to reach out and help. But tzedakah is more than just a requirement. Even without the din, it's a reality. Tzedakah works. If someone is short of funds and I give him the money, I give him a job, I give him training, I will have helped him. That's a reality. Even independent of it being a chiyuv. Tzedakah is a metzias, a physical, economic metzias. It works. Sometimes it doesn't always work. But tzedakah can help people physically. The Torah comes along and says, not only does tzedakah is a meaningful reality, it's also an imperative. You have a chiyuv to help people by giving tzedakah in conditions where tzedakah applies. So the Torah says, the Ramban says, Yibum is the same way. Not a physical, economic reality, tzedakah. Yibum is a spiritual reality. Here's a person. This person's neshama is needy. This nifter's neshama is needy, and you can. We don't understand the Kabbalistic mechanics. Okay, Rabban said if we had the Naim Leros as Naim Lashon, we could understand this more. But we'll take Rabban's word for it that the Yibum somehow it does something to heal, to improve the neshama of the nifter. His widow marries his brother, and the spiritual mechanics of things that's like tzedakah for his neshama. So it's a mitzias. Even before it was a mitzvah, like tzedakah was a mitzias, even before it was a chiyuv. That's the first thing Ramban tells us. That this already, centuries before Matan Torah, the Chacham Kadmonim knew that Yibum works. That Yibum helps this nifter's neshama. So he says, the number one that begins to explain why Yehuda is using the terminology of Yibum. Like before Matan Torah, the answer is, the concept already existed. V'hu haro, and then he says, Yibam of the brother, v'hu haro ilios kodembo. And it makes sense for him, for the brother, to be the first candidate. He's the brother's Yibam. Again, we don't know the ins and outs of the spiritual mechanics, but somehow the brother doing Yibam is the most powerful. It's the most effective. Ya'acharav ha'karav b'mishpacha. Aban second chiddush is that the spiritual reality of Yibam is most powerful, most potent with the brother, but the brother's not the only one who could pull it off. If the brother can't do it, there will be some help given to the neshama by some other blood relative marrying the widow. Ki kol she'era karvel of mishpachto shuyorish nachala yagiyim emenu to'elas. Anyone who's in a bloodline, the same bloodline that Yerusha travels along, right? Yerusha can go to children, Yerusha can go to brothers, Yerusha can go to the father, Yerusha can go to the uncle, to the cousins, to the grandparents, to the second cousins. Anyone who would in principle be in line to get Yerusha, anyone who shares a parent, a grandparent, and so forth, is someone who not only is relevant for Yerusha, but is also relevant for the spiritual reality of Yibam. Now, we're listening to this and we say, well, 1 second. This is a very beautiful Kiddush. It doesn't sound like what's going on in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. Parshas Ki Tzeitzei only talks about the brother. So let's see. But in the very next line, and what's Rabban driving at? Before we even get to Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, what's he driving at in Parshas Vayeshev, right here? By saying Yibam is a reality, existed even Kodem Matan Torah, that's the way the world works, spiritually. And, Kiddush number two, the brother or some other relative, so in the very next line, he begins to show his hand, the Ramban. V'ayunogim Lisa, Eishes Hameis, Ha'ach, O Ha'av, O Ha'karv, Min HaMishpacha. V'ayunogim, not in Tzivui, it's not a Chiyuv, it's not one of the Shevins of Noach, but that was common practice among those who understood this. The minhag was either the brother would marry the widow, or the father of the nifter would marry the widow, marry his own daughter-in-law, or some other blood relative, an uncle, a nephew, a cousin, someone else. And what he just set us up for, he already helped us by saying what? Say? Yehuda. What Yehuda was doing unwittingly was Yibam. What Tamar was seeking to accomplish, to set up, because she knew Yehuda would not let his son marry her, Yehuda would not let himself marry her either, because Yehuda was convinced that marrying Tamar was somewhat dangerous, which could sometimes be the case, but in this case it wasn't. So Tamar was interested in arranging this Yibam and made sure she engineered that it would happen. But what Yehuda actually was doing, unbeknownst to him at the time, was an act of Yibam. Now, you say, okay, that's very nice in Vayeshev. Now I begin to understand what's going on with Yehuda and Tamar.
Hi, is it okay if Rabbi Shulman is able to borrow a marker?
Simcha.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Have a marvelous day. So, Rabbi is beginning to help us. Now we understand what's going on in Vayeshev. But this Chiddush is a little too much. And Bizman Hazeh. The Torah only speaks in Kisei about the brother doing Yibam. It does not speak about the father doing Yibam. So what's going on? The Ramban says, you have to understand. What do you mean?
That's the right thing to do based on a non-Jewish outlook.
Right, correct. That's exactly what Ramban is saying. And, as you're saying, that piece that he said that Yibam is a reality, even independent of the din. So he said, that sets us up to solve this as well. He says, the Bereishis Rabba says that Yehuda learned this idea from his early generations. But he may have been the first one. Rabban says, we don't have any evidence of anyone fulfilling Yibam beforehand. Then again, this was the first situation in the family of the Avos. We don't have any other records of a man, married man dying without children. So Yehuda may have learned this idea from earlier generations, and but then the opportunity presented itself to him. Kasher kibel hasod me'avosav, he received this Kabbalistic insight from earlier generations, from the Avos. Nizdarez la'akimoso, when it came his way, so he sought to take care of it. He says to Onan, okay, we know about this idea of Yibum.
and now it came up, and now is your chance to perform Yibum. Kasha Basa Torah Va'asra Eishes Ksas Krovim. So he says that's the way it was for centuries until Matan Torah. But then, because until Matan Torah, Shem Mitzvah Bei Noach do include, one of Shem Mitzvah Bei Noach is Gimel for Gilui Arayos, but it's a very, very small list of Arayos for Bnei Noach. Very few relatives are incestuous on the Hilchos Bnei Noach. But then, for Tariag Mitzvahs, for Bnei Yisrael, there's a much, much longer table of Arayos in Parshas Achrimos and Parshas Kedoshim, long list, well over 20 people on the list of forbidden relationships. So Kasha Basa HaTorah Ve'Asra Eishes Ksas Krovim, and specifically one of the major chidushim from Bnei Noach to Bnei Yisrael is there is a host of relatives by marriage that are forbidden. I can't marry. A number of the Arayos are the wife of relative X, my son's wife, my brother's wife, my father's wife. That's a common theme in the list of Arayos for Bnei Yisrael. So Kasher Bosa Torah V'Asreishes Ksas Krovim, the Torah comes along and forbids you from marrying the former wives of various relatives. But that's every Yibum is like that. The whole essence of Yibum is she used to be married to your relative, and now the relative passed away without children. Now the Yibum. So that was fine, called the Mantorah. But now Nitna Torah Nischad Shalacha, now all those are going to mostly be Arayos. Rotza Kadosh Baruch Hu Lahatir Isser Eishas Ha'achim Pnei Yibum. The Torah permits, but the Torah permits only Eishas Ha'ach. No other, that is true. You learn Yibamas? Normally to marry one's brother's wife is Keneged Adin. Normally that's Keneged Adin. But here's an exception. Normally it's a gila, it's gila rice, it's yahar v'yavart, as we're talking about in Shir Kavusa, to learn to marry the brother's wife if the brother passed away with children, or if the brother divorced the wife. But if the brother passed away without children, so then the mitzvah of Yibum is docha, what would normally be an iser chamur of Eishasach. But the Rabban said the Torah only said that in this one case. The only erva that gets pushed aside la'achar matan Torah by Yibum is only the brother's wife, not the son's wife, no other situation. Why? V'lo ratzu she'idache mipana of the other situations. Eishes achi ha'av, the habein, the uncle's wife, or the son's wife. Why? Why did the Torah only, you tell me, why did the Torah only permit Yibum to a brother's wife, and not to an aunt, and not to a daughter-in-law?
Right,
because that's the closest, and that's the most, as we said before, that's the, whatever the spiritual mechanics are, that's the most effective. Yibum by the brother is the best. He already explained. Whatever's going on under the hood, we don't know all the mechanics, but al pi kabbalah, Yibum of the brother is the most powerful. He says, as a matter of fact, you get the parsha Kiseitze. The Torah says, not just, there's a mitzvah Yibum, if not do chalitza. The way chalitza is done, if that's the alternative. The brother does not interest in doing Yibum, he has to do chalitza. And the chalitza is by design embarrassing to the brother. Why? Because it's Achzaris Gedola. Spiritually speaking, it's very cruel. You could help the neshama of your deceased brother, and you're refusing to do it. So now, a lot of pieces have fallen into place. We're almost done. Rabban says, all of a sudden, now Parsha Yeshev is glorious. We understand Vayeshev, we understand Kiseitze. But in Vayeshev, we're seeing a type of Yibum that we haven't seen since, a Yibum by the father. We're seeing Yibum before Mount Tor, which is interesting. And then we have this whole situation with the father. And then somehow, once Yehuda realizes that he's the father of Tamar's children, it's all good. Why is that making it any better? To us, it sounds terribly incestuous. He was intimate with his own daughter-in-law? That sounds horrible. That sounds sinful. Aman says, Yibum is always... That's how Yibum always works. Well, that's not how Yibum always works. We've heard of Yibum with a with a brother of the Nifter. We've never heard of Yibum with the father of the Nifter. And we haven't heard Yibum Kodem on Torah. Ramban says, that's the point. Yibum exists as a reality. Kodem on Torah, it wasn't being opposed by an Isser of Gila Arayos. So you were free to have Yibum with whichever relative was available. Either a brother or a father or a nephew or someone else. Figure out who it's going to be. Says Ramban, that was in Vayesha called Mantorah. Lacha Mantorah, Nitin Torah Sahad Shalacha. Now we have Gila Arayos. So you cannot perform Yibum in the face of Gila Arayos, except for the one situation the Torah builds in. The Torah is only Matach Mantorah, only the brother. Brother can do Yibum despite the fact that normally Eshos Achiv is an Erva, but no other Erva is going to be Nitcha. That is the opening Mishnah in Yivamos. Because even if it's a brother, she's a sister, and also relates some other way, off limits. No other erva is pushed aside halachically by Yibum except for the brother-in-law sister. And again, as Ramban explained, because that is kabbalistically the most powerful. So now we explain two out of the three areas in Tanakh. We explain the parsha in Vayeshev. We explain the parsha in Kiseitze, Hilchas Yibum Chalitza. What remains is Rus. Now I say, what's going on with Ross? What's it? There are no brothers involved. Machlon and Killen have both died. And this is Lachar Matan Torah. So don't tell me, oh, well, Kodem Matan Torah's thing was different. Ross is Lachar Matan Torah. Right? Ross is hundreds of years. This is during B'mei Shvor HaShoftim. So what's going on? The cousins. Ma'apshat. Ramban says, the Mahalach I read developed, the Yisod I developed, namely, the Yibum is something independently meaningful, it's a spiritual reality, even apart from it being a halacha, Ramban says that's going to help us with Rus too, because he said it's the natural next step. He said, what I said, what Ramban says, what I explained to you as we move from Vayeshev to Kiseitze, from Kodem Matan Torah to Acher Matan Torah, is that the only time you're allowed to Yibum in the face of Gilui Arayos is by the brother. No other Erva is going to be Mutter. So it's normally it'll be Gilui Arayos for a man to marry his brother's wife, but that's Nidche Mepnei Yibum. But it's normally an Erva for a man to marry his son's wife, that's not going to be Nidche. That will not be Mutter. It's normally an Erva for a man to marry his uncle's wife, his aunt by marriage, and that does not become Mutter B'Makim Yibum. But the Ramban says, you know what's going on, Rus? There's a third scenario. The third scenario is, let's say, it's not a distant enough relative, that it wouldn't be Aser anyhow. Forget about the Yibum. Let's say a nephew's wife. There's no Aser of marrying one's niece. Not necessarily a good idea, but it's not an Aser. A cousin's wife. Even a blood cousin. Again, it may not be a good idea from point of view family dynamics. It may not be a good idea from a point of view of genetics, but it's not connected again. So Ramban said, you know what's going on, Rus? Lachar Matan Torah, the only time that you have a close relative of Kudu Yibum is a brother. And that's the only time that's required. He says, but now let's look at Rus was distant. Chachmei Yisrael HaKadmonim, the third to last line. Chachmei Yisrael HaKadmonim, Nidaita Ma'inin HaNichbar HaZeh. They understood this idea. Now he's talking about not Chachamim HaKadmonim, Kodem Matan Torah. It's a term he used before to mean pre-Matan Torah. Now this is Chachmi Yisrael HaKadmonim. They're early Jewish Chachamim, meaning La'achar Matan Torah, they're already B'nai Yisrael, but early, in the period of the Tanakh, like both. Midaita Ma'inya Nechber HaZeh, they understood this concept, this glorious concept of Yibum, and that Yibum is impactful on the, will help the neshama of the Nifter. So in Higul Lefnim B'Yisrael, it was a very, very ancient minhag Yisrael, Lasos Hamas Hazer, to perform Yibum, if there's no brother, V'chol Yorshe HaNachala, V'osam Shol Yibam Yisrael She'er. Any blood relative who would be in line to inherit, that's a simon. Yorshe, being a Yorsh is a simon that you're that type of blood relative, if there's no Isser She'er. Now, if you're distant enough, there's no Isser Arayos, like a cousin, like Boaz. Boaz's relationship to Machlon was such that even if Machlon had children, no Yibum. Then Machlon passed away, or Machlon divorced Rus,
Boaz could have married Rus. There wasn't any Isser anyhow. So that became, that was the ancient minig, Ramban suggests. You see from Rus, there was an old minig to do this quasi-yibam, this more remote. If there's no brother, let a cousin marry her. Let an uncle marry her. Let a great uncle marry her. That's probably too much off. But let find some other relative where there's no Isser, and it'll help the neshama of the nifter. And what do they call it? To differentiate it, Ramban says, that you might say, well, we don't remember seeing the word yibum. We saw the word yibum here, in Leisha, we saw the word yibum in Kiseitze. We don't see the word yibum in Rus. Ramban said, yeah, we see a different word there. The Karu Oso, this minhag of it's like quasi-yibum by a more distant relative, they called it Geula. That's why keeping that word Geula, bouncing around in Rus. To be a Goel, you'll be Goel, I'll be a Goel, he'll be the Goel. What's with being a Goel? So Rabban says, that's this idea. We don't call it Lachar Mantor, we don't call it Yibum, because Yibum is reserved for, from this point on, for Halachic Yibum, for Halachic required Yibum, the mitzvah of Yibum, which is specifically by the brother. But this Kabbalistic concept remains, and we can perform it from with a cousin. We can perform it with an uncle. The Karoso Geula. So that's the significance of what's going on. Why are they going to buy the field, marry the woman? What's it all about? He says, the point was, it was a chesed for the nifter. That, by the way, is why Boaz tells Rus, when they talk about, you know, chesed with the chayim and the mason. Part of the chesed with the mason was taking care of the neshama of Machon through performing this yibum. And the Ramban ends with one last move. He says, let me prove it to you. This is an interesting theory. Okay, and the Parsha of Tamar is very difficult, and now we understand Pshat, and there was the word Yibam, and now everything fits in. He says, but in Megillas Rus, can you really show me evidence that this is what's going on? That this is a quasi-Yibam? Who said? Ramban thinks it's a quasi-Yibam. And again, going back to the beginning, the Kriya al-Shem, Hakomat Shem, which is how we had gotten started. The parents had said, it sounds like this is something larger than merely what you name the child. Ramban says, absolutely. And that's why, again, it wasn't by Yomer Onan, it was by Yeda Onan. Onan understood, Yediyah, I mean, he understood this deeper concept. And it, this notion that his child was somebody connected to the Neshama, whatever we name him, but then the child was somebody connected to the Neshama of the brother, that spooked him. It shouldn't have, but it did. Okay. But then, and now we understand, okay, so Oved isn't named, Machlon is named Oved, but how do you see that's what's going on in Rus? Ramban says, such a gewaldic riot. And he delivers it in six words. Eight words, maybe. This is the last line. Vizehu inyan Boaz. This is what's going on with Boaz. V'ta'am Naomi v'hashchenos. This is an explanation of Naomi and her neighbors. Or that Damaskil Yavim. If you understand Kabbalah, you'll know what I mean. What does that mean? Naomi and her neighbors. What do we know about the neighbors of Naomi? Who's letting me go through us, yeah? Oh, Givaldi, at the very end, Rus and Boaz marry. And Rus has a baby, Oved. And exactly as DJ said, the Shechenos say, the neighbors say, Yula ben Naomi. Naomi had a child. What does that mean, Naomi had a child? Naomi didn't have a child. Rus had a child. The Pashup Shada means, it means that Naomi was taking care of the baby. She was like the grandma. The truth is, though, she wasn't the grandma. It wasn't. Rus's first husband had been Naomi's son, Machlon. But her second husband is Boaz. What shaykhus to Naomi? The Pashup Shada, okay, but the Pesukim do say, that you should say, she took care of the baby as though she was a grandmother. And the relationship between Naomi and Rus is remarkably outstanding. Such an incredibly close bond as mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, and one which survived the official end of their relationship. Once Machlon passed away, they weren't really mother and daughter-in-law any longer. But that's because she was ki'ilu a mother, ki'ilu mother and daughter. So she was ki'ilu the grandmother. But Ramban says, yeah, but there's more to it. It was Yulad Beinu and Naomi. because this baby, named Ovi, not named Machlon, but this baby was somehow giving spiritual nutrition to the neshama of the Nifter, Naomi's son, Machlon. And it says, that's a deeper understanding of that pasuk, Yula ben Naomi, that's this idea. So all of a sudden, everything hangs together. And the Rabban says, at the end of the parasha, Sod, at the end of this paragraph, Sod Kabimani, he says, yeah, Sod Kabimani means she was wiser than I. She did better than I. She understood that Yibum had to be done. I was trying to avoid Yibum. It was the right thing to do. I was trying to avoid it. And Rabban said, Lishitasi, that there was a meaningfulness of Yibum both with Shayla, there would have been with Shayla, and there also was with Yehuda. Rabban Lishitasa, that Yibum is something that transcends the din of Yibum, that's a reality for other relatives also. That Sad Kavimani, that's what he says in Pasuk Kavod. She was better than I. I tried to avoid Yibum, and she made sure that it would happen. And that is part of what the Torah is telling us in this central episode in Parshas Vayeshev. This illuminates some of the mysteries in this this puzzle of the Parsha of Tamar. And something to think about, not homework, something to think about is the following. I would love to hear if you have thoughts after Shabbos about the following mystery. Give me this Ramban. You learned this Ramban, now see if you can apply it in the following way. I've already applied it to Rus, I want it to apply to the rest of Asia. By which I mean, you look at Vayeshev as a whole, the story of Tamar sort of gets jammed in the middle. At the beginning of the parasha is about Yosef and the brothers sell him down the river to Mitzrayim, and then the Torah takes an intermission to tell us about Tamar and Yehuda, and then comes back to the story of Yosef. Now we pick up with Yosef in Mitzrayim and see what's happening in Mitzrayim. It's an awkward intermission. So Rashi says, you see what happens. He was involved in the sale of Yosef, and the brothers sort of pushed away, and he was less connected with the rest of his brothers as a result. So this is sort of the first piece of the aftermath. And the Mechiras Yosef was the story of Yehuda and Tamar. But the question is to think about is, for the Ramban's approach, there are Midrashim that say, you know, everything looks like it's falling apart, and you think Yosef is being sold down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov thinks he's losing children, and this is the beginning of Galus. And yet, in the midst of it all, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm busy getting ready for Mashiach. Yehuda and Tamar are parrots, David, Shlomo, Mashiach. The question is, how about from the Ramban's perspective? What shot? Could this idea of the Ramban, understanding this parasha as a parasha of Yibum, understanding this parasha somehow like a chesed for the Nifter, could that somehow explain why the Torah took a break from the story of Yosef, right from the Chiras Yosef? This needs to be said. Could it be it's not just as Rashi said, this was narratively speaking, this was a result of Yehuda's involvement in the Chiras Yosef, and not just as the Medr says, that this is like Rafua Kozen Laka, it's standing for Gula. Could it be that the Mahus of the Parsha somehow relevant. You have something to think about. Think about that for the Shabbos. You have some ideas. I would love to hear what you come up with.